You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Luke chapter 2 this evening is where we'll be. And if we could, I'll read out loud. If you could follow along with me, please. We'll read the first 20 verses together. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse number 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days would be accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much that we have this church to come to tonight. I thank you for your people that have made time to be in your house tonight. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, that we'd be challenged, we'd be encouraged, we'd be convicted, we'd be helped tonight. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Christmas time is such a wonderful time. It's hard to believe that we are only 6 days away from Christmas. Where does all the time fly? It seems like it takes so long to get to Thanksgiving. And then from Thanksgiving to New Year's, it just flies by. It's like a moment. It's here and then it's gone. I would have to say that Christmas is probably my favorite time of the year. In fact, it's the most wonderful time of the year. There is no other time, maybe except summer, because school's out for an extended period of time. But for the most part, Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. For you, it could be something different than it is for me. Perhaps it's the cold weather. Maybe it's the bright Christmas lights. Maybe it's the smell of a pine tree in your living room. Perhaps it's the ugly Christmas sweaters that some people wear, the delicious treats, the seasonal coffee drinks, the nativity scene, the gift exchanges, class Christmas parties, or perhaps it's Brother Alvin Martinez singing O Holy Night. Whatever it may be, there is something truly special about the Christmas season. As we look at all the different activities that take place at this time of the year, the gift exchanges, the Christmas parties, the different carols and songs that we sing, there's so many wonderful things about it. If I had to pick my favorite part of Christmas tonight, and I have to be honest, I'm standing behind the pulpit of a man of God, I cannot lie. My favorite part of Christmas, and maybe you're here with me, is the gift giving. You know, there's just something about it. Maybe it's the kid in me, but I love receiving and giving gifts. How many of you are there with me tonight? You love getting gifts at Christmas. I see a bunch of liars in this room who didn't raise their hand. We all enjoy getting gifts. We enjoy giving gifts. I have to admit, as a child, I loved to receive gifts. There was nothing like it. And as I matured in age, I have discovered the joy of going out and purchasing gifts for my children and for my wife and for family members and giving them, presenting them to them, taking the time to search out the right gift and then wrapping it, putting it under the Christmas tree, and seeing their expressions on Christmas morning when they open up those gifts and the joy in their face. It is a wonderful thing to give. But again, I do like being the beneficiary. I do like being the recipient of giving gifts. I can remember as a child, I would have to work very diligently to make sure my parents knew what the right gift to give me was. I mean, it was a process. It wasn't as easy as it is today for children. It would start about around Thanksgiving, and it would come in the mail. For those of you who are maybe in your 30s and up, you'll understand what I'm going to say here. For the teens, you have absolutely no idea what I'm about to talk about. But it would come in the mail. It was about this thick. It was the JCPenney mail order catalog. That was it. And I remember my brothers and I, we would wait and it would come in the mail. And we would run to that mailbox. We would get that thing, open up the shrink wrap. We would, flip through past all the clothes, all the jewelry. Somewhere between the jewelry and the home goods, there it was. About 20 pages, top to bottom, left to right. All the newest toys, all the newest games, the descriptions, the price. And we would study that magazine, that catalog. We would read over it time and time again and diligently research the toys and the things that were there in those pages. We would then take out a pen after going through it once or twice, perhaps even three times, and we would start to make little notes on there. Chris would like this. Greg really likes that. Gabe and Jordan, who cares about that, Matt? Whatever it may be, and we would go through and we would circle the toys that we wanted. We would circle, make notes, so that way my parents, if they just happened to look in there, they would know this is what my son would want for Christmas. Sometimes if I wanted to be very thorough, I'd make sure that I'd even cut it out, put it on a letter to Santa and hand it to my parents to make sure they had a sneak peek before it got in the mail to up to the North Pole. Because I wanted to make sure that my parents knew this is what I wanted for Christmas. Kids nowadays, they have it so easy. They have to go to Amazon.com. They create their wish list. They have the opportunity to browse through millions of products, read thousands of reviews, and then start selecting. I'll take one of these, one of those. Once they finally compile their list, there's no effort, there's no work involved. They click that share button, and they send that Christmas wish list to friends, to family. They post it public for the whole world to see. And then if they really want, they can even email it to Santa. I mean, there's no work involved there. Parents and loved ones then go on. They find their wish list. And as they start to purchase the items, it shows on the wish list. Because, you don't want to get a duplicate, right, teens? You don't want a duplicate. You don't want two of the same items. How inconvenient is that? And so they can go through and say, I want one of these. I'll take one of those. And as parents begin to purchase it, it then shows this one was purchased. Don't worry about that one. And then Christmas morning comes. As a child, my parents taught me that I had to be thankful for any gift I received. Even the ones I didn't like, even the ones that I thought, this is so lame, I don't want this, why do I have this? I had to show my appreciation. Sometimes it was kind of like this, oh wow, Aunt Sally, a homemade knitted Christmas sweater. Thank you. I don't know when I'll ever get this, but I'm so thankful for it. Or thanks, Grandma and Grandpa, socks. Just what I wanted. How did you know? Kids nowadays, it's pretty simple for them. If it's not on their Amazon wish list, it's kind of like, what in the world? Mom, Dad, didn't you see the list? Didn't you get my email with all the items I wanted and you chose this? I'm going to need that gift receipt. This is going back. But gifts. We all love to get gifts at Christmas time. And there's nothing wrong with that. Every family has different traditions on when they open up their gifts, how they open up their gifts. For some, it's Christmas Eve. For others, it is Christmas morning. I think that's biblical, right? It has to be biblical. We did it that way. But growing up, our family had a tradition every Christmas Eve. My extended family would get together and we'd go over to my grandparents' house. I'm talking about 18 cousins, 10 aunts and uncles, two sets of grandparents, and a partridge and a pear tree. And we would get together And we would go to my grandparents' house, and we'd have such a wonderful time. We'd play games, we'd sing songs. Of course, we would feast, and we would eat till our hearts were content. Some point after dessert, I can remember we would do this every year. We would all get together, and one of my uncles, would say, "Let's sing Christmas songs." And we'd sing all different kinds of Christmas songs. At some point in the midst of that singing, we would get to Jingle Bells, and I knew what was coming after Jingle Bells. It was always Santa Claus is coming to town. And at some point in the midst of singing Santa Claus is coming to town, I would start to hear the jingle of bells. And it was a very distinct sound. I'll never forget it. And I knew what was about to unfold. I knew that any moment, from right around the corner, Santa Claus was going to emerge. And sure enough, he never let me down. Every year he was there. That we would sing the song, bells would start jingling, I would turn around, and Santa Claus would be coming in. This guy was pretty legit. He was actually, I found out later, he lived next door to my grandparents, but he had the white hair, the white beard, he even had the white eyebrows. I don't know if he dyed those, if those were natural, but he looked legit. He didn't have one of those Party City Santa Claus outfits. I mean, he was the real deal. The fur hat, the very nice looking Santa outfit, the black belt, the boots, the big velvety red bag full of gifts, and he would come in and he would spend time with our family. I honestly believed he was the real Santa. It wasn't until many years later, when I was in college and dating, that my wife came over to our Christmas party there at my grandparents' house, and she told me that he was, in fact, not the real Santa. Completely ruined my entire childhood. Still trying to get over that one. But as he would come in, he would begin to talk to the family and howdy with everyone, and then he would pull out that list. And it would take time because there were 18 cousins. He would read name by name by name. What seemed like an eternity waiting for him to finally call my name, he would call my name, and I'd come up on his lap and he'd say, "Have you been a good boy?" And I said, "Santa, you know I've been a good boy. I've been a tremendous, I've been perfect. My three younger brothers, not so much, but this has been my best year yet." He would reach in that bag and he would hand me a gift. I would take that gift and I was so excited to open up that gift, but I couldn't open it just yet. We had a rule that every one of the 18 cousins had to get their gift before we can open it up. It seemed like an eternity as I would sit down and I would wait, and cousin after cousin, finally, one of the uncles or my grandfather would give the signal, and we knew. I mean, it was all out. You know, tissue paper flying, wrapping paper flying, cardboard boxes flying across the room, and we would open our gifts and spend the rest of the night playing with that gift, enjoying that gift, showing each other what we had gotten. That was just the beginning, because then we'd go home that night and try to fall asleep. It's a difficult thing as a child trying to fall asleep, knowing that in the morning I get to wake up and I am going to open more gifts that I get to enjoy. And I can remember going to sleep and waking up in that morning, and we kind of had an unwritten rule that whoever was the first one up, if it was myself or one of my brothers, we would wake the others up, and then we would go out to the tree before getting mom and dad, and we would go through all the gifts and we would sort them in piles. And I would put all my gifts together, because once mom and dad came out, I didn't want to have to take that extra time. I wanted to be very efficient in my gift opening skills. And so we went and we would sort all our gifts. And, you know, I'm sure that's not how it was the night before as my parents put them out there, but my pile, my brother's pile. And we would then go wake up mom and dad. They would come out. And of course, we were going to pray and we were going to read the Christmas story. And I can remember sitting there thinking, please let it be the short verse. The short version. Don't read the full 20 verses. Read the first 7 and let's get this thing on. Finally, after reading the Christmas story and opening and having a word of prayer, they would give us the go-ahead. We would then begin to open up all those gifts. And what pure enjoyment we would have on Christmas morning opening those gifts. For many of you, you can relate. As children, you remembered those same experiences and the same joys in life. For some of the teenagers, you're still there, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So much of what we do at Christmas involves giving gifts. Buying a gift for a coworker, for a family member, a friend, a loved one, a child, a spouse, whatever it may be. But we have that tradition of buying gifts. If you were to go to the mall any point this week or next week, you will see that it is absolutely packed. People everywhere, cars in the parking lots. What are they all doing there? They're there buying gifts for other people. It is a tradition that we do every single Christmas. Why do we do that? Why is it I go out and I buy gifts for my children? Why is it I go out and I buy gifts for my wife and for my parents and for my in-laws and for my siblings? Why is it that I buy gifts for my staff members? Well, they have to put up with me all year, so that's why I buy them gifts. But for everyone else, I buy gifts, and we buy gifts for those we love, for those we care about, for those that we want to show, I love you, I care about you, and so I am buying you this gift at Christmas. It is a very common practice that we do. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, we see the nativity scene. It is the picture of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus surrounded by the shepherds who've come to worship the newborn king. It's such a beautiful picture, such an important picture that I think at times maybe we overlook. My wife and I, every year for the last 10 years, we've taken our children to a live nativity scene here in the area. It's a great production that is put on, and it's one that we always enjoy. They have the live animals, they have people in character, the actors and the actresses. Everyone does such a tremendous job. Maybe you've been there before. If you have, you'll notice that there's so many things that go on that no matter how many times you go there, it's always special. It's always unique. I've been there so many times that I know the characters. I know what they're going to say. I know where they're moving. I know the best places to be to avoid the crowd. I even know the lines of what they're going to say before they say it. I've memorized all the songs from start to finish. I can stand up here and rehearse the entire thing. Would you guys like that? I didn't think so. I don't blame you. But I know start to finish what's going to take place. I know the Christmas story. But it's an amazing thing as I sit there and I go through all the different stages. And it comes to that stable. And there's the actors and the actresses depicting Mary and Joseph. It hits me every time, the amazing fact that God loved me so much and God loved you so much that he sent his son, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to be born here on planet Earth. Just as Mrs. Rowe sang that song, he was born so that one day he could die to pay for our sins. What an amazing thing. As we think about Christmas and we think about giving gifts to each other, to loved ones, to those we care about, there is no greater gift than that Christmas gift of God loving us and sending his son, Jesus Christ. There is no more amazing gift than that. And as I think about Christmas and I think about gifts, I know that you can relate when I go over these next few points. I want us to think about this Christmas gift, and I want to ask you this question. What are you doing with that gift? We have all been recipients of gifts in our life, Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, different gifts. And so we can relate to what it's like on the receiving end of being the beneficiary or the recipient of a gift. And I want you to consider these thoughts for a few moments. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He was the giver. He was the one giving the gift, and we were the beneficiaries. Number one, our response, I would like to say, is it a gift that is enjoyed briefly and then set on the shelf to admire? Is it a gift that we enjoy briefly but then is set on the shelf to admire? As we think about new Christians, as someone gets saved, it's all so new. It's so exciting. Everything coming to church and meeting people and reading the Bible and going out to visitation, all these things, it's so new, it's so exciting. Kind of like when a child gets a gift. They're so excited to open up that gift, to be able to play with it maybe for a short amount of time. But those of us who are parents or grandparents, you know this to be true. There comes a time when that child is done playing with that gift, and they take that gift and they maybe put it on a shelf, they put it in a toy box, and they forget about it and they go about their life, maybe to rediscover it at some point, maybe not.
Why? Because that gift was so exciting at first, but as time goes on, they simply forget about it. They move on to the next thing. As we think about this gift that God has given us, the birth of the Savior, I wonder, has our attitude been that of it was exciting at first, but now that I'm a more mature Christian, it's something that I've kind of put on the shelf and I'll leave it there. I still possess it. I own this gift, but I'm on to the next thing in life. I hope that we never get to that place where we take for granted and we don't remember what God did for us in that Christmas gift, His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I say the gift is in your possession. You have it, but you aren't doing anything with it. I want to say number two, and I hope that none of us find ourselves here today, the gift that is exchanged for something that you think is better. We've all been beneficiaries. We've all received gifts that maybe for one reason or the other, we decided, you know what? I don't want this gift. I don't need this gift. I'm going to go back to the store. Now I'm going to exchange this gift for something that I want better. We've all been there. We've all done it. We can all relate to it. But I hope that would never be our attitude. As we look at this precious gift that Jesus Christ, that God gave to us in Jesus Christ, sadly enough, there will be people this Christmas season all across this country, all across this world who say, you know what? I've had enough of Christianity. I'm done with it. There is something that is better that the world can offer that I want. I am going to exchange. I am going to return that gift that God gave me, and I am going to take something else in its place. Of course, we know there will never be anything better than what God has already given us. The world has absolutely nothing that they can offer us that would ever substitute, take the place, or be better than what God has given us. Yet, some are fooled, some are misguided, and some believe that there may be something better out there than what God has already given us. Let me encourage you, never get to that place where we begin to think, you know what, maybe I'll hang up the towel. Maybe I'll be done with all of this. Maybe I'll get something different. There is no better gift than the gift that God has given us. I'd say number three, and this is the gift, this is the response, the attitude that I hope we'd all have, is the gift that is appreciated, loved, and used. As a parent, there isn't a greater joy than taking time, effort, energy, money, going out and buying my children a gift, whether it be for Christmas, whether it be for their birthday, whatever it may be, and buying that gift knowing this is something I know they want, this is something I know they need, they'll use, giving it to them, seeing the joy, the excitement as they open up that gift, and then watching them day after day use that gift, cherish that gift, love that gift that was purchased and given to them. There's nothing greater than that as a parent. That's what I want. When we give our children gifts, that's the kind of response that I'm looking for. I wonder if at times God the Father looks down from heaven and He looks at our approach, our response to this gift that He gave us in Christ Jesus and thinks they took it for granted. They don't appreciate it. They don't love this gift that I gave them. They don't cherish it. It doesn't mean anything to them. They've pushed it to the side. I hope that our response toward this gift, this precious gift that God gave us, is that we would love it. We would cherish it. We would be thankful and appreciative for it and show that in our actions, in our service, in our love for God, in our desire to do things here at this place. I hope that would be our approach, our response. The best gift given is the one that is cherished and used by the recipient. They're one for which appreciation is shown daily for it. And the last one I'd like to say is the gift that is shared with others. As I think back over my childhood and all the many gifts that I was given for Christmas by my parents, by family members, I have to be honest, I can't remember all of them. In fact, I can't really remember a whole lot of them. I'm sure there were clothes along the lines and some latest and greatest toys, but I don't remember so many of the things that were given to me. But I do remember this one particular Christmas. My brother and I actually got a matching gift. It was the coolest thing. Hockey wasn't a huge sport at that time, and it wasn't something that in our school or youth group was really played, but for whatever reason, my brother and I had a desire. We wanted to play hockey. And so my parents, that Christmas, they gave us the full entourage. We had the helmet, we had the stick, we had the rollerblades, we had the gloves, we had the pads, the jersey, we had a full-size net. It was the most awesome gift we had ever received, the one actually that I still remember to this day. And right after Christmas, we went outside, we set it up, and we began to play hockey one-on-one all day long in our backyard. That next church service, we told some of our friends, hey, this is what we got for Christmas. We then went over here to Montague Park, and we set up the net, and we played for hours and hours and hours hockey, roller hockey with our friends there at the park. So why is it that you remember that gift above the rest? I think it's because it was a gift that not only I enjoyed, but it was a gift that was shared with my brother. It's a gift that was shared with our friends as we all enjoyed playing hockey together at the park. You know, this Christmas season, as you pass people in the mall and fight with other people in the parking lot for a parking stall, we have to realize that there are people who are aimlessly looking. They're hopeless. And they are looking for something to give them that true joy, that true happiness, that true contentment in life. And they'll search for anything. The newest thing that comes along is, but they are looking for something. The truth is, we have that. We have that gift. It's already been given. It's there for the taking. It's salvation in Jesus Christ. It's the only hope for them, and we have it. Yet so often at Christmas and all year long, we have this gift, and we keep it to ourselves. We don't want other people to see it. We kind of develop this selfish mentality. Well, yeah, I'm saved, and yes, I'm going to heaven, and yes, I'm thankful someone told me. I'm thankful that I have this gift, but we don't share it with anyone else. When we think about that verse, John 3:16, for God so loved Chris Fanera. Well, yes, that's true. But Jesus Christ didn't die just so I could live the Christian life. He died so that I could share it with others and pass that gift so others could know him and know that they have an eternal home. This evening, as we think about this Christmas season, we're reminded that what is Christmas all about? It's about that gift that God Almighty gave to each and every one of us in Jesus Christ tonight. I wonder, is our approach, well, yeah, I'm glad I have it, but it's on the shelf. I'll get with it later. I'm on to more exciting things. I wonder, are we looking to exchange it for something that we think is better in life? Do we love it, appreciate it, and cherish it? And do we share it with others? Christmas is such a wonderful time as we think about what God has done for us. I hope that in your lives, I hope that in mine, we never take it for granted. I hope we never get to a point where we truly don't think about why we celebrate Christmas and the gift that is Christmas in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.